Pastor Jeff encourages us towards a life of love today on Sound Doctrine.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Well, it's time for Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. Open that Bible of yours, Romans chapter 12. We're in a very practical portion of this book. Verses 9 through 13 beautifully describes how we are to live and love in these last days. Even a casual observer can see that love is absent in all too many lives, but the Christians should be known for their love. Let's see what that should look like as we hand things off here to Pastor Jeff.
I think what you've been hearing over the past weeks is a whole lot of love, a whole lot of forgiveness from the Lord, and that's a good thing. We need to hear more about forgiveness and about love. So that's what we're going to hear about this morning. So Romans chapter 12 is where we left off. Romans chapter 12. Dionne Warwick, I think that's the one that's saying, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Especially when you look at the scriptures in these last days, what Jesus said was going to be upon us. He said it in Matthew 24, verse 12, because iniquity shall abound in the last days, the love of many shall wax cold. So as sin continues to grow, love grows cold. So the Lord wants to just kind of move in our midst and warm up our hearts to be lovers of God and lovers of one another. So he raises up this church. It's called the Church of Philadelphia. It's in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, where he says to that church, because you have kept my word, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation, which is about ready to try the world. So he raises up this church called Philadelphia. You know what that means? It's the church of brotherly love. We are that church. That last day church. So his promise is to us. Paul is now here in Romans 12 giving us some very short practical exhortations on how to live a life of love. How to live in his love. This is the heart, this is the core, this is the hub of Christianity. I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it's at, guys. Now we're getting down to some real heavy stuff in the book of Romans, as far as practical, which we desperately need. Now, know this, that love is not a gift. You say, what do you mean it's not a gift? Well, it's more than a gift. It's a fruit in the scriptures. And fruit grows. I like that. Because the Lord is looking at every single one of us and saying, I want your love to what? Grow. I want your love to grow in me and with one another. So I think this is a good illustration of it. Remember in Galatians, it says, if there's any spiritual among you, this is in Galatians 6:1, and you see a brother caught up in a fault, what are you to do? You're to go to that brother in meekness, in humility, and seek to see that brother or sister restore and see restoration take place. I love that. And he says, bear one another's burdens in this. And I think that's where it's at, humility. Remember over in verse 3 of Romans chapter 12, he says, right in the middle of the verse, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly. Let's be humble before the Lord. Let's don't seek to, you know, raise ourselves up, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to be humble, to be meek. And I think that's what is needed today. Meekness, drawing one another into his love. Now, the Greek word for love is an interesting, it's got three meanings, okay? And it kind of goes along with the triune being that we are. We're body, soul, and spirit. So first you have eros in the Greek, which is the goes along with the body, the flesh. And then you have phileo. That's another description, a brotherly love, which goes along with the soul, a real deep affection. And then you have agape. That's God's love in the spirit. So body, soul, and spirit. So what do we have here in Romans chapter 12? Well, verses 1 and 2, we have our love towards God, which we've already dealt with. That's chapter 12, 1 and 2. And then verses 3 through 8, our attitude and love for each other, which we have also covered to this point. And now this morning, verses 9 through 13, our Christian life is a life of love. This is what he's going to be pointing out to us this morning. Practically, how are we to be living in these last days? Very, very practical. And first, it's with those in the family, in our family, at home, at church. And then verses 14 through 21, it's those outside of the church family, how we're to be treating them and what we're to be doing with them. So let's start off with verse 9 where we left off. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. I think Paul is talking here about not being a hypocrite. You know, a lot of people are worried about being a hypocrite. What is a hypocrite? I have Isaiah gives us a little definition of that. You can just jot it down. Isaiah 29, verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said this, for as much as this people draw near with me with their mouth and with their lips, they do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. So it's a lip deal going on. It's just a lot of talk, just a lot of hot air, and it's not from the heart. That's a definition of a hypocrite. It's an outward. What is it? What is a hypocrite in the Greek? It's an actor that gets on stage with a mask on. And he's not who he really is. He's the mask. He's covering up who he really is. That's a hypocrite. He's not genuine. It's in word only. You see, deeds are needed. And that's what Paul's going to be talking about here. That's what the Bible says. It's not just in our words that it needs to be. It needs to be in our deeds. You say, but my wife, she needs to hear that I love you. Now, wives, do you need to hear that? Raise your hands if you need to hear that from your husbands. Okay, yeah, it's nice to hear, isn't it? You know, I'll tell you, it's the same way with us and the Lord. I like to hear from the Lord once in a while that he loves me. How about you? Yeah, you know, he loves me. And I like hearing about that. But there is that which is deeds. Now, I'm looking at this thing like the Holy Spirit, follow me here, is a type of the central nervous system in the body, okay, that we have. The Holy Spirit is the type of the central nervous system, really making everything go and flow and do what it needs to do. Then love is the circulatory system that brings life. See, it's the blood. It's in the blood. Without it, we're a tinkling cymbal. There's no life in us. We're on the gong show. And we're gonging out. We're not getting anywhere. And it's not happening. Why? Because there's no love. One good thing that came out of the hippie movement is that they had some sincere love. I mean, they were really reaching out. They were trying to be affectionate towards one another, hugging one another, you know, and it always went too far with that. But, I mean, that was the bad thing, you know, free sex. You know that nothing is free? You paid for that dearly. But there was affection. Yet compromise, now follow me, and tolerance, compromise and tolerance is one of the church's, I think, weaknesses, greatest weaknesses of today. We tolerate so much. We're like the frog that started out in warm water, and now it's boiling hot, and we're going, hey, and we're in hot water. We're compromising. We're way too much tolerance. It's a weakness. Passive Christianity. He says, I want you to abhor. I want you to stay away and have no time for evil, okay? Deal with it is what he's saying here. The problem is that we're not upset enough about sin. We're not shook up enough about sin. It's been said that one security against sin lies within our being shocked by it. There's a security, that you're shocked by it. How many of us are shocked at what's going on these days and sensitive? We should be, because we should be walking so close to the Lord that when we do hear it, when we do see it, we freak. Because it's so far the other way. But what is happening? We're boiling. We're getting kind of callous towards what's going on. And we're starting to put up with this and put up with that. And we're not really, you know, the cursing, the nudity. There's even a drawing to these things. The movies that you like to see and hear. We become hard. Oh, yeah, there's only a few cuss words, and you know, and then they move in a few more, and a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that, and finally you're sitting there and you're going, hey, you know, this is wrong. I remember years ago, my wife and I, we'd go to the movies, and every time we'd go, we would be ripped off. We would be bummed because it just didn't get it. It was wrong. And then to try to bring your kids to anything nowadays, forget it. I remember bringing my grandson, thinking it was no big deal, and didn't check it out on the Christian thing, you know, where you can check out movies. What was it about these mechanical cars and Transformers 2, though? One, I saw one with him. That's not a big deal. That was fun. You get into two, and they perverted the whole thing. And I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. So that's what's going on. And you guys know what I'm talking about. It's everywhere. And so there's that infinite beauty of holiness, but there's also an infinite damnability of sin that is ever so present, which is going on in our society today. The fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is to hate all evil. The song we sang in Romans 16:19 says, be innocent of evil. Be even naive to the point of there's a shock when it takes place. That's what God is trying to get us on, that track of holiness. Wholesomeness goes along with holiness. So there's a lot of things we need to kind of maybe clean up at the home base with the videos and the DVDs and the movies and the things that we say, oh, it's not a big deal, but we sit under it and we listen. And it has its effect in us. The enemy's good at using the media. But many only hate the consequences of sin and find themselves in compromise. They don't hate it enough, but they do hate it when it gives consequences. And that's when the hate comes out. Too late. See, the root of it all is sin. That's the problem. It's always been, it always will be. And he says here, I want you to cleave to that which is what? Good. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure and good. That's what he's trying to get us to go to. Not just to be good, but to fight for good. To fight for righteousness. To stand up to it and say, it's off. It's down. It's cut. Enough. That's what he's talking about here in verse 9. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave. It's a super glue to that which is good. Go for the good things that are out there. Do you remember Job? It says about Job in Job 1:8. He was a perfect and upright man. He feared God and he shunned evil. And he was in the midst of junk, man, but he shunned it. He walked towards the Lord. So it's his love, Paul says, that constrains me. God's love is working in my heart. Our power, our driving force is his love working on us and in us. Because he first loved me, what? I love him. So he reveals his love to me, and then I love him by what I do, how I love, how I live my life. But there's some that cleave to evil. And they continue to go that way. They reject the Lord and what he's saying, and they forsake the family, pretty much. and what God's trying to do in the home, with the family, with the church. We are a family. God's trying to do a work here in our midst. He's trying to shake us and make us something beautiful. But we've got to listen and then move. I love what 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says. He says, hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to it. Steady on. Now, let's go on to verse 10 because it gets good here. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Now he deals with family affection. Very important. Doing unto others. And it's sometimes very hard. What do you mean? Well, I want my rights. I mean, I want my time. This is the me generation, man. And we want what we want. And so it gets hard in what he's saying to do here. It's a hard thing to do. We're hurt so easily by so many different things. But as a Christian, we have no rights at all. Did you know that? You don't have any rights. Yeah, you have a right, I guess, and that is to go to hell, if that's what you want to do. You know, I mean, but, you know, that's, we don't have any rights at all. What we have is duties. And you say, but that's unfair. I mean, come on. No, listen, you can't carry a Bible in one hand and the Bill of Rights in the other. You can't live your life like that because the Bible says, die to self. Die to self. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Yeah, but he hurt me. It doesn't have anything to do whether he hurt you or not. But we do have help supernaturally. Romans is one good place. In Romans 5 and verse 5, Paul says it right up front. He says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. See, God's love is shed upon us. He's given it to us to share with others, to be able to love the unlovely. That's God's love. And that's what he's speaking about here. Over in Ephesians, this is one of my favorite scriptures, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30, excuse me, 4, verse 31. Just mark it down. Ephesians 4, 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Okay, that's practically what we're to be doing. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Why? Because he says here, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Forgive your brother because God forgave you. Think about that. How much has God forgiven you? Now, turn around and forgive. If we're not kind, we're not spiritual. Did you know that? If you're not a kind person, you're not a spiritual person. If you're mean, you need to have the Lord work on your heart and melt your heart to start being kind, because that's what is needed today more than ever. You can test yourself on this. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse 14, he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life, and here's the test, because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Well, I love the brother because he's a nice guy and he's good and he's... No, no, no. That's not what you love. You love him because he's your brother. Period. Well, yeah, look what he did. No. Love him. Has nothing to do with what he did or she did. Does that ring with you at all? Thank God that he didn't do that with us, that he doesn't judge us like that, like we judge. Judge, lest I'll be judged, you know? I mean, if that's where you want to go. I don't think any of us want to go there. We just need to freely have brotherly love towards one another. And that's how we know we've passed from death to life. It's more than a love for a brother. It's an attitude. It's a deep commitment, a total submission with humility to devote ourselves one to another as brothers and sisters. Listen, we inherit our family. Guys, guess what? You just inherited one another. Yeah, but I don't like some of them. You better get it right, man. You better move up and just say, all right, they're my brother, they're my sister, I got to love them. You can choose your friends, but not your family. We've been put here together to be a family. And sometimes we rub each other the wrong way. But you know what? Sometimes God will give you somebody like that just to fix you. He'll put you in a fix to fix you. And he'll give you some kind of weird attitude towards somebody to show you your own heart and where you're at and how shallow you are in the spiritual things of God. And you're supposed to be a more mature saint than that. Let's be mature saints. Let's really see love in our midst grow and thrive in his presence. He's going to bless us. So this is important. We need this exhortation. Behold, how these Christians love one another. Oh, what a statement. That others outside looking in would see that, would hear that from us. Even though we've got family problems and we go through things, we don't noise it abroad, you know. No, that's family problems. It stays in the family, you know. We keep it to ourselves, and we just, to God be the glory, great things he's doing. And he goes, man, look at how these Christians love one another. They watch one another's back. Huh? They look out after one another. Hey, you're talking about my brother, man.
Yeah, we'll break away from the message for just a moment or two. The rest of Pastor Jeff Johnson's message, A Life of Love, is right around the corner here on Sound Doctrine, just one part of our study in Romans. To purchase today's study from Romans on CD for a cost of $5, call toll-free 800-353-7553. Again, 800-353-7553. You can also listen to us online at sounddoctrineradio.org or through our app. Simply search for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. Have you had a chance to hear Pastor Jeff's testimony? If not, here's your chance. It's detailed in a book called The Seeker. You'll be blessed as you read of the amazing grace of God that can transform a person that truly is seeking after him. Pastor Jeff had an amazing change of heart and life, and this is his story. The book comes with the CD, The Power of a Testimony. And we'd also like to send you a special Thanksgiving message from Pastor Jeff. It's called No Leftovers. So to request this special offer today, simply go online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call us at 800-353-7553. And as you're able, we would greatly appreciate your financial support. It helps to provide these daily studies on stations all across the nation. People right now are desperate for hope and encouragement. And together, we can bring it to them through the sound doctrine contained in God's Word. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. We'd like to tell you about an exciting Christmas concert that we have planned for December 11th here at Calvary Chapel Downey. It's the Shane and Shane and Worship Initiative Christmas Concert, with special guests opening worship provided by Heritage. Tickets are on sale now for just $30 at ccdowney.com. That's December 11th. Mark it on your calendar. Doors open at 5 p.m. Again, purchase your tickets before it sells out at ccdowney.com. Now let's get back to our message. Once again, Romans chapter 12, here's Jeff.
Now, and then he says honor, the word honor there. The humility of love, honor. I was looking at Philippians, and here's where this word is kind of, it helps us. You can just jot it down. Philippians 2, in verse 2. He says, fulfill my joy that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let us esteem the other better than yourself, your brother more than yourself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. I thought, wow, that's a great definition of this honor. And then Jesus, of course, humbled himself and became a man and took on himself a form of what? A servant. That's what we're to be doing. We're to be serving one another. And it's not a pat on the back. It's knowing yourself. Oh God, forgive me, a sinner. Isn't it? It's knowing who we are before a holy God. Oh God, oh wretched man that I am. Thank you, you know, that you love me, that you've given your son for me. And so with this perspective, you know, I'll always be able to see my brother better than myself. And I'll always be able to put him first if I realize who I am before a holy God and how much grace God has given to me. Amen?
Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff is the presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey, made possible through the support of our listeners. So far.